Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Welcome to our service. A happy Thanksgiving to you. This is for the week of October 8th, 2023. The message is entitled, Where is Contentment Found? The call to worship is from Psalm 100, verses 2 to 4 from the NIV. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This morning we are going to continue to glean wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And since this is the Thanksgiving Day weekend, I would like you to think about this question. What brings you to the place of thankfulness where you can be thankful? What brings you to the place of thankfulness? In other words, what does it take for you to be thankful? Now, some people may answer, no worries. Not having any worries, that leads me to be thankful. I wonder if that is possible on this earth. Others may say, no debts. Having no debts. Again, many of us might wonder if that's possible on this earth. Finally, someone might say, no wants. No wants. That could be possible, but not for many of us. Now, have you ever thought about what advertising is for? The goal of advertising. Yes, in part, it's to inform and to instruct us about new things or new businesses, or just remind us that a business is there. However, you know, when you turn on the TV especially, much of today's advertisement aims to offer you something while taking it away at the same time. It's offering you something but also taking it away. What might that be? Any idea? I want to suggest it's contentment. Some ads are specifically designed to arouse a feeling of need and a desire. Oh, I need that. I want that. And their product is advertised as being just the answer to fulfill our desires and end our discontentment. And sometimes that discontentment has been stirred up by that very ad. I didn't even know I needed that until I saw it. Oh, boy. Where can I get it? When is it available? What colors does it come in? The assault on our contentment from all directions has been going on, and it's having an impact. An article I read recently said 100 years ago, when surveyed, the average American had 70 wants. A similar survey taken recently showed the average person had 500 on their list, and I suspect it's gone up. There are so many things that we need. David Owens, in a Reader's Digest article called Rich as a King, addresses our growing list of necessities with some humor. Let me share it with you. He writes, William I, who conquered England some 930 years ago, had wealth, power, and a ruthless army. Yet, although William was stupefyingly rich by the standards of his time, he had nothing remotely resembling a flush toilet, no paper towels, no riding lawnmower. How did he get by? History books are filled with wealthy people who were practically destitute compared to me. I have triple tracked storm windows. Croesus did not. Entire nations trembled before Alexander the Great, but he couldn't buy cat food in bulk. Caesar Nicholas II lacked a compound miter saw. Now, given how much better off I am than so many famous dead people, you'd think I'd be content. Now, the trouble is that, like most people, I compare my prosperity with that of living persons, neighbors, high school classmates, TV personalities. The covetousness I feel toward my friend Howard's new kitchen is not mitigated by the fact that no French monarch ever had a refrigerator with glass doors. There's really no rising or falling standard of living. Over the centuries, people simply find different stuff to feel grumpy about. Now, you would think that merely not having bubonic plague would put us in a good mood. But no, we want a hot tub too. Of course, one way to achieve happiness would be to realize that even by contemporary standards, the things I own are pretty nice. My house is smaller than the houses of many investment bankers. But even so, it has a lot more rooms than my wife and I can keep clean. Besides, to people looking back at our era from a century or two in the future, those bankers' fancy countertops and my own worn formica will seem equally shabby. I can't keep up with my neighbor right now, but just wait. Now, that was written in 96, before the advent of the iPhone and all these things. It would have been mind-boggling for even the emperors in the past to be able to call and talk to someone on the other side of the world in real time, let alone be able to do a FaceTime with their generals and their armies that they're commanding. It's unbelievable what we have. And yet, discontentment reigns. Now, what is it that brings contentment? I want to suggest that contentment is more than just having things. You know, many people feel that things will bring contentment, and that's why they're gathering. That's why they're looking for new things, hoping this will be the one that really settles that emptiness. But contentment goes much deeper into ourselves. Although we often believe the advertisement that says having more or better material things is what will bring us contentment. Wealth isn't bad, but if you sacrifice your character in order to get it, you have lost your greatest possession to gain what is only temporary. You've lost your greatest possession, your integrity, in order to gain something that at best will barely last past your lifetime. And many times, you know, the battery wears out and it can't be replaced in 5 years and you need a new one. Proverbs 16 verse 19 says, It is better to live humbly with the poor than to share the plunder with the proud. And Proverbs 28:6 says, better is a person who walks in his integrity than a person who is crooked, though he is rich. The writer of Proverbs understood that contentment is not dependent upon things, but on your relationship with God and on the company that you keep and the life you live. Proverbs 15:17 says, a bowl of soup with someone you love is better than a steak with someone you hate. You know, you may have been in that situation. And you know, when the environment, the situation is tense, you can't even enjoy the best steak. Your mind is spinning. You know, you're just wondering, now what is this about? Why is he doing this? Why did he invite me? He doesn't like me. Or maybe in a family setting. You know, it's a big celebration, Thanksgiving or Christmas, but there's been an argument, tension. That I've experienced that. My stomach is rolling. I don't even feel like eating. And it's such a shame because these are treats maybe we've looked forward to and can't enjoy them. Better to live humbly. Better is a person who walks in integrity. A bowl of soup with someone you love is better than a steak with someone you hate. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "True contentment is a real and even an active virtue. Not only affirmative, but contentment is creative. It is the power of getting out of any situation all that is there, all there is in it." And I've experienced it, and maybe you have too. Some mothers are especially good at this with their children, teaching them, helping them to appreciate what they have instead of focusing on what they don't have. You know, for example, yes, we don't have sprinkles on the cupcakes out for a picnic, but look how blue the sky is. And listen, just listen to the concert the birds are putting on for us, just for us. How can we stay sad on a beautiful day like today? We are so blessed. You know, that gift of the power of getting out of any situation all that there is, instead of just focusing on what's not there, to appreciate on what we have and what is there. But what brings contentment? The choices we make and the goals we set are what create either contentment or discontentment. It's really our choice. You know, some of you may have experienced being in a country where people have far less than we do. You know, some people make in a year what many of us might make in a week, or even less than that. And yet they are content. They are happy. And we may wonder, how? Why? Well, it's their choice. And they're enjoying where they are. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 6, encourages Timothy to find his contentment in trusting in God, in putting his trust in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8 and 17 say, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." Then he goes on, verse 17, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." It's from the New Living Translation. Paul writes, our trust should be in God, not in their riches. It's not that they're bad, but our trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. It's God who supplies our needs. And this is what the writer of Proverbs was teaching as well. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 says, "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the rich. He watches over the righteous. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." Proverbs 16:7. And Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It is the Lord's purpose that prevails. What do these passages tell us? You know, as we read it, you know, the Lord doesn't let the righteous go hungry. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. You know, the Lord's purposes will prevail. These passages are telling us God is in charge. God is in charge. What brings contentment? Understanding that God is in control. So really our question should be, who brings contentment? Contentment comes through having a living relationship with the living God. A living relationship with the living God. Do you have that? Do you have that? Are you keeping in touch with your Lord every day and not letting your mind, you know, get focused on what you don't have, but instead are thankful for what you do have and are in communion with Him? The Apostle Paul was criticized by some Christians, some pastors even, for being in a Roman prison for preaching about Jesus. You know, some of them seem to have the impression, good riddance, Paul is off the road, so now we can go and collect, you know, the acclaim and the offerings from these other churches. And they criticized him. You know, if Paul had really been in God's will, God wouldn't have allowed him to be in prison, that kind of thing. They criticized him. But while Paul was in prison, hearing these kind of things, he could still write to his friends in Philippi and tell them that he could see God at work in the prison, that God was giving him opportunity to share with those that he met in the cells, and even those, the guards that were watching over him. And he realized that these guards were the elite. Many of them were not only guarding the prison he was in, but this was a prison for prisoners that were going to see Caesar. So these guards had access to Caesar's household and people within. And Paul, rather than focusing on his misfortune, began to see that God had placed him there to encourage the Christians that he found and challenge those who had not made a decision for Christ to follow him. And he was having an impact that was even reaching into Caesar's household for being in prison. So while he was in prison, writing to his friends in Philippi, in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, he could write this, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through Him who gives me strength. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Who was Paul talking about? Who is it that gave Paul the strength to be content in good times and in bad times, in times that were unfair, in times where he had his socks blessed off? Who was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had learned to put his trust in God, understanding that God is in control. That brought him contentment. Knowing that God was at work in his life, in this world and in control in the next. And God had done what was necessary in sending Jesus, that our sins can be forgiven. That we know what our future holds for us, that we will be with him. And this discontentment that we face in this world because of lack, sometimes because of problems happening around us and in our family and in our own lives, health concerns, that one day they would be gone. And the blessings maybe we long for now will come in a way that would blow away even the best that anyone in this world has ever experienced. Bill Gothard wrote one time, "Contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything we need for our present happiness." So contentment comes from really settling in, saying, "Lord, I know you are looking after me. You've provided me everything I need." There is much in life that promises the inner contentment we long for, but there is only one who can give us what we need in unending supply. It's the Lord Jesus. Draw from him today and every day. Amen. Let me close with a benediction. It's a prayer. You have been given every good gift for proclaiming God's presence and God's love. The world is thirsting for this good news. People struggle for words of hope and peace. As you have been blessed, go now to be a blessing in God's name. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving and go in the joy of the Lord. Amen.